so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in five different locations, and our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about our church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Good morning, everyone. We are so glad that you're here with us today. If I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, my name is Pastor Jacob LeBlanc. Along with my wife, we are the lead pastors of the New Iberia campus, and we are incredibly excited to have you here with us today. We've got a very special message planned for you today. I'm just going to tell you this. Today, if you apply what Grace and I are about to talk about, it's going to set you free. We're talking about boundaries in relationships today. And there are so many of us, us included, that have been bound by other people because we allow them a special place in our life, when in all actuality, we need to put a boundary around them. So first off, before we get started, I just want to say this. If this is your first time, welcome home. You are in for a treat because, look, I think I'm an okay preacher. The little woman sitting behind me is a phenomenal preacher. Come on, somebody, look.
I'd rather you set the bar low.
But I'm really excited because today you showed up on a special day. The reason is because if you haven't been told in a while, God has plans for you. That God has big plans for you, plans that are bigger than your own plans for yourself. See, the Bible says, according to God, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope, plans to give you a future. See, I don't know what your life has been like up to this point, but the moment we relinquish all authority of our life into God's, our lives are usually better. They may not be easier, but they are always better.
That's right.
So today we're going to continue this topic of relational intelligence as we talk about boundaries and relationships. And I want to kind of do a recap for you. Week one, we talked about defining our relationships. There are people who are friends in our lives, and those are the people that we allow close, we allow them not just our time, but we allow them our lives. But then there's associates. These are the people that are in your lives that you will never get back out of them what you put in. And not in a great way. See, because there's also people in our lives called assignments where God has called us to pour into them, not expecting much out.
Right.
That's when we're discipling people. God's word says we are to be disciples, make disciples of all nations. But also, we're supposed to be disciples. And at that point, it's our responsibility to find an advisor in our lives, somebody who's a little further along in their journey than we are, and they can walk us closer to God. And then last week, my wife joined me as we talked about the marriage and the romantic relationship, and we talked about communication, we talked about our love languages, and we talked about resolving conflict.
Yeah, so I have a funny story to tell you. I'm gonna have to get up because I just got to be honest about it. And how many of you know, like, vulnerability makes you a little bit nervous? And I'm going to be vulnerable, and this is a pretty big room to be vulnerable in. But I'm not perfect. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
That's
I know.
False.
It's shocking.
She is perfect in every way.
It's shocking. Okay, so a few weeks ago, I came and told some of our staff this story because I was so – it was a moment God told me, like, okay, you need to humble yourself a little bit and, like, calm down with all of the crazy, you know? So God speaks to me like that. He might not speak to you like that, but that's what I needed to hear in the moment. So Jacob and I were talking about boundaries at our house because this year we feel like God is pushing us to set some boundaries in a lot of different areas so that we can be healthier. So we had talked about boundaries. We're feeling good about it. We're like sitting down with our finances and our budget, and we're sitting down with all of the stuff, and we're putting boundaries in place. And I'm like, man, we're so good. We're like the most mature people. We are just really doing what we need to be doing. And man, we're setting ourselves up for success. And I'm just like pride and just feeling so good about myself. I'm like, man, we're on the same page. Like, take that, communication, you know, like I felt really good about it. So talk about boundaries, talk about our budget. We got a plan. I love having a plan. I feel like half my life I don't have a plan. So when I get a plan, I'm like ready to go. So I felt really good about it. then the next day, like within 24 hours. You ever have those days where FedEx or UPS shows up a whole lot and you're like, oh no, what did we order this much of? So it's one of those days, like the mail had already come, there was a package in the mail. FedEx or UPS had already come, there was a package in that. Then we get another delivery, and my little alarm system thing is showing, like, there's a delivery man. And I'm like, what in the world? We just talked about budget. Why is all this stuff coming to my house? And it was, like, within the Amazon Prime window of the budget talk. So it's like, this was after we talked about budget. So I'm getting a little bit, in my mind, I'm working myself up. I don't know if any other ladies are like that, but there's a lot of conversations happening up here. And
that I wasn't a part of.
He wasn't even home. So a package comes in the mail, in the, you know, to the door, and I bring it inside, and it's in a big box. So you open the big box to find a smaller box. Smaller box is a shoe box. And I'm like, well, I know I didn't order shoes, and I like shoes, and I didn't order shoes. Take out the shoe box. It's a real nice shoe box. Like, expensive, what we do not spend on shoes, shoe box. And it's these, like, super fly, whatever, I'm trying to be cool, but I'm kind of old now, like, cool.
That was a low blow, these, babe.
I know, okay, like.
Below the belt.
It was these super cool Yeezys, which are a little bit of money, not in that budget. And I'm like, he did not. Like, I was ready to fight him. I don't know if I would have won, but I was going to give it a try, like. I was so mad. So I might have one. I don't know. I'm a little scrappy. So I'm like, there's a whole fight in my head happening. And I was like, oh, he did not. I know these are the ones he's been wanting, and how dare. And so I texted a snarky passive aggressive, your package came in the mail, period. And I just left it. And I was like, just wait till he comes home. And I'm like, we talked about budget. How am I supposed to run a budget whenever he's buying stuff like this? And I know those are expensive, and I never get to buy. And I'm mad because I don't get that allowance to buy stuff I want. And I mean, he got home that day. He didn't even know what he was in for because all this had happened in my head. And I'm like, he did not. I was on the phone with my sister when the package came. I'm like, you know, and I'm getting real aggressive about it. So he comes home and he walks through the door, and I'm just making dinner. And I'm kind of silent treatment a little bit. And I said, your box is on the table. Make dinner, watching him, kind of side-eyed. He goes, oh, yeah, this is awesome. I'm like, yeah, you think that's awesome. Just wait till I get it. Goes, opens the box. He said, man, I didn't even tell you about these. I'm like, you sure didn't. And he said, I entered this, like, sweepstakes online, and I won a pair of free Yeezys. And I was like, dang it, man. Now I can't even fight you. I was so mad. So we, you know, like, listen, that was I had a moment of, you know, God humbling me real good. Had to apologize for the fight he didn't know we had, which is also a humbling experience. But boundaries are important. And it's important to be on the same page with the people close to you. And thankfully, he had not actually broken the boundaries. He just has really good luck, and God bless him. And he won a pair of shoes he had been wanting. So good job sticking to the budget. So
Thank you. Thank you.
And nobody was injured in the making of this story. Everyone survived.
She had to pull the shank out of the back of her pants and just had to
like
put it
down. Like kitchen knife, you know. No, everyone survived, and no one broke the budget, and everything was good. But it was definitely a moment of realizing, hey, wait, we are on the same page, and we are agreeing on these boundaries, and we know that they're healthy, and we are going to stick to them, even when something seems like maybe we didn't stick to them.
Yeah.
So today what we're going to do is we're going to help you discover how to set boundaries, how to be able to say yes to the right things, because that's God's best for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So whenever we say yes to everything, sometimes it doesn't give us the opportunity to say yes to the right things.
So good.
So I want to give you this this whole idea of boundaries would take us like an entire conference or an entire message series to really dive into. And we've kind of condensed it into one message. So if during this message you think, man, that's kind of me, I need to work on that, or that's something that speaks to me, I have two books that are resources that I want to recommend. The first one's by Lisa Turkhurst, kind of geared a little bit more towards women. It's called The Best Yes. Very, very good. If you have a hard time saying no to stuff, this is the book for you. Very challenging, easy to read, lots of stories, very fun, but gives you great examples. And then the second one, thank you, Vanna. The second one is called Boundaries. A lot of our content is from this book. The book is intense and amazing, and there was no way to boil the entire book down into one message. So please do yourself a favor. It's on Amazon. They're not that expensive. If you're desperate and you can't buy it, come tell me and I will give you this one, okay? Yeah. Because it's important.
Yeah.
It's very good. It's by Dr. Henry Cloud and John Townsend. So very, very good books. These have been around a long time, but they're still relevant because boundaries are always relevant.
Yeah.
So those are good resources just if this speaks to you. I want us to look at Genesis 1:28. This is in the very beginning of the Bible, first chapter of Genesis. It says, "Then God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground.'" So God is telling us what our job is. We have to take responsibility for certain things in our life. And that's what this is saying in Genesis. This is your responsibility. And he lists the responsibilities. But here's what's really important. We are responsible to others, but for ourselves.
Ooh, that's good.
Don't get that backwards. Don't be responsible for others.
Yeah.
Be responsible to others. I have a responsibility as a Christian to be Christ-like to others.
Right.
But I cannot be responsible for them and how they act. And with the one exception being like very small children that belong to you. That you are responsible for them until a certain age. But you, even your small children, you know, you can't control when they say no. Like, they come out of the womb knowing how to say no. I don't even know how that's possible.
Yeah.
But you are not responsible for every single thing that happens, but you are responsible to be Christ-like. So that's our responsibility, is knowing what our job is and what our job is not is just as important. And we do this through establishing boundaries.
Yeah, so let's talk about for a second, what is a boundary? Let's define what a boundary is. A boundary is a line that marks the limit of an area. It's a dividing line. Think about it like this. Picture a castle in medieval times. Right? So you think about a castle. A castle was a place of strength. It was a place of security. It was a place of comfort, protection for those who lived inside the castle. Picture what's around the castle. You're picturing either some type of a moat or some type of a wall, some type of defense. See, what you're picturing is a boundary. A boundary is a line that defines where you end and someone else begins.
Yeah, and this is some examples of boundaries in everyday life. And this list could go on forever, yeah. Infinity. But this is just a couple of examples that might help to trigger ideas of what a boundary would look like to you. So boundaries could be maybe your family, your immediate family, like husband, wife, kids, have chosen that every Christmas you do Christmas morning at your house. You don't travel to anyone else's house. You want to have that established tradition with your family. That is a boundary. It doesn't maybe always make everyone happy, but that is a boundary that you have decided for your family. Now, if that's not a boundary you feel necessary for your family, by all means, do whatever you want. We have not, that's not a personal boundary in our family. We lived out of state for years. We would travel on, you know, for Christmas. But I know some people that is a boundary that they've established.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is a husband and wife scheduling date nights. So
yeah.
A boundary is that our schedule, no matter how complicated, congested, busy it is, date nights will always be scheduled. That's a boundary. We're protecting our time. So that's something that could be a boundary or maybe should be a boundary
How many of you know, I don't, maybe y'all are way better than we are, but we get busy. Like, we get really busy. if we don't have a date night scheduled, it's not going to happen. And what is, by us not scheduling a date night, what am I telling my wife? I'm telling her that she's not as important to me. That everything else in my life is more important than my time with her. My job, the kids, travel ball. Finding an opportunity to say, it is more important for my wife to get my best attention. That's putting the boundary around a date night.
Yeah, that's really good. So another example could be maybe you're single in here and people assume that because you're single, you have all the time in the world to do whatever they ask you to do. We know that's not the case.
Nope.
So I have a friend who just told me the other day, she was like, I have been saying yes to things that I should not have said yes to, and I really just want to go home and sleep because I'm exhausted. It is okay, single people, to say no. Yeah. I don't want to. I want to go home and watch Netflix. You need rest too. Just because you're not married or you don't have kids or whatever, it does not mean that you have to be at everyone's beck and call.
Right.
Let me just set you free in that right now. You have the freedom to say no. That is a word. He said that the other day. Remember his little, like, he, I don't even know what was your little no?
No.
Yeah. We want to teach you how to say no today because sometimes no is the necessary answer. And here's the key with boundaries. Boundaries are meant to make, are not meant to make the people around you happy. Boundaries are not meant to make the people around you happy. They are meant to make you healthy.
Come on,
okay?
Somebody.
That is the key.
Come on, somebody.
That's the key. Whew. And that wasn't even in the book. So you can write it down. No, boundaries are really, they're not going to make everyone around you happy.
No.
And that's okay. You're not responsible for their happiness. You're responsible for your healthiness. Okay?
Wow.
So know what you're responsible for. Okay, so here's the other thing with a boundary. A boundary is not a wall that we use to keep people out.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to raise your hand, but I'll be honest. Sometimes I have a little bit of a wall. I think my parents would say, like, when I was a kid in a stroller, like that age, I would give the look. Like, even at that age, people would come by me and want to talk to me, and I'd be like, no, you know, not into it, not into it. I have one child like that, one not. I won't call them out, but if you know them, you know. I have kind of this perpetual wall. That's not really a healthy boundary. Because what happens is when you build a wall, then nothing can come in or out. And if you've experienced any sort of trauma or dysfunction, you're keeping all the bad in and you can't even get the good in.
Yeah.
So it doesn't need to be a wall. Even a castle has an entrance, a point of entrance.
That's so good.
So you need to understand a boundary is not just walling ourselves off to everyone around them. Then we can't develop the healthy relationships and we can't get healing that maybe we need. So don't think of your boundary as a wall. We need to be careful that we're using a boundary as a line that just helps to guard the important things in our life.
Yeah.
And there's a scripture that says this in Proverbs 4:23. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it.
So good.
We need boundaries to have healthy relationships. And this is what you can think. When you think about boundaries, this is how you know where to establish boundaries. Think about what is most important to me.
Yeah, that's so good. That's a great question. What's the most important thing to me? Ask this question too. Is what I'm putting my effort into giving me a return on my investment? Okay, let me ask it another way. Would this make my important relationships better or worse? Is what I'm committing all of my time to, is it making the important relationships, not all your relationships, because let me free some people from some things today. Not all of your relationships are important. You should have some key relationships, but not everyone should be treated the same in your life. I treat my wife better than I will ever treat any of you. Don't take it personally. I love you, but she has access to certain points of me that you will never have access to, and I'm okay with it. Yeah. There should be things that you have that I will never have access to, and I'm okay with it. because you should put a protection around you and your spouse and your kids. So the key to this is prioritizing your relationships. So here's our list of priorities. We want to give it to you. This is what we prioritize. We find scriptural references. I'm telling you, I could put a scripture to every single one of these, but for time's sake, I want to share with you. Number one is our relationship with God. That is number one. Above my relationship with her, when I'm loving God right, I'm treating her right. When my relationship with God is where it needs to be, she gets everything she needs. If you're not focusing on your own spiritual, emotional, physical growth, you will never have healthy boundaries in your other relationships. Never.
And here's the example of that. How many of you have ever flown on an airplane, like commercial airplane? You know how they always do all the safety things and, you know, they tell you all the things. One of the things that they tell you, and I'm sure you've heard this analogy before, they always tell you if the oxygen mask falls, put the mask on yourself first and then your children or people who need help and more assistance next to you. So if I'm traveling with my children or my husband, it is my responsibility to put my mask on first so that then I am able to function properly and to help the people around me. Mm-hmm. If I am not feeding first my relationship with God and making myself healthy, nothing else in my sphere of influence will ever be healthy.
Yeah.
So you have to make that the first priority. God is your oxygen mask. You need that first. And then it flows into the people around you.
That's so good. So your relationship with God's number one. Number two, your relationship with your immediate family. Oh, I'm about to make some people mad, y'all.
Don't make them mad. Don't make them mad. Just be nice.
Okay, I'll say it this way. I'm about to set some people free today.
Yeah.
How about that? So your second priority is providing for the spiritual and emotional needs of your immediate family. Okay, let's define what that is. Your immediate family is your first priority. Your immediate family is your spouse and any kids who are not adults.
And all the parents with grown kids said amen, right?
Here's why. When your kids become adults, they become gods. Which means God should supply all of their needs according to his riches and glory. I have no problem with people helping out their adult kids. I think that's phenomenal. My parents helped me out whenever I went to Bible school. I mean, believe me, we're going to set some boundaries around that in just a moment, and I'll tell you how you know you should continue to help your older kids. But this doesn't mean you cut your older kids off. It means they've become adopted by God, and God should supply all their needs. There are some parents in here who need to be set free. And we'll get into what those boundaries look like in a little bit. But if your extended family doesn't understand or respect that your first priority is your spouse and your kids, you may need to put a boundary around that. So number one is your spouse. Number two, it's your kids. Then number three, it's everyone else. Everyone else. And y'all, extended family is everyone else. I have no problems being connected to extended family. I'm grateful. I have a great extended family. I love being connected with my extended family. But the moment that my extended family comes in between my relationship with my wife and my relationship with my kids, it's time to set up a boundary. Yeah. Number three. So number two is relationship with your family. Number three is providing for the physical needs of our families. Okay? Your job, your career is important, but don't forget why you have the job is to provide for your family. Please hear me. Do not put your job above spending time with your family. Don't get lost in doing work for the family, but not doing work in your family.
Yeah.
And then number four is your ministry. Number four is your ministry. I'm grateful. Number three and four are the same thing. Actually, and number five. But number four is what your passion point is. What is it that you're passionate about? Honestly, sometimes you have to work in your job that you're not passionate about because you need to provide for the needs of your family. That's why it's important to find a ministry so that you can find ways to reach people and get your passion out. And number five is your hobbies. These are the things that give you energy. These are the things that take up what's called leftover time. Then number six, everything else. You could fit whatever you want into everything else. But understand that boundaries are made so that we can protect what's most important to us. And for me, for us, it's God, then our immediate families.
Yeah. So the next question to kind of ask is, why do we need boundaries? What I mean, and we've kind of touched on it, so hopefully you're already there a little bit in your mind.
Yeah.
But why do we need boundaries? And the answer is that so that we can say yes to the right things.
Right.
So not that long ago, at the beginning of the year, actually, we had our boundaries talk at home. We set our budget boundaries. We also decided that we wanted to start eating better, getting healthier in every area of our life, including our physical life, which living here, we've lived back here for almost 2 years now. Hard to eat healthy around here. Lots of good food, struggling a little bit, but we decided that was important. It was a value and a priority in our life. So we sat down, we decided how we were going to do it, what it needed to look like, the boundaries we wanted to put into place. So since the beginning of January, I've been cooking a lot more than I used to because we are very busy. So if we don't make the plan, then it doesn't happen.
Right.
If it's not planned, it's not a priority and it won't happen. So previously, like, it was pick up something because we have about a 45-minute window and let's just grab something quick, not great food, not healthy for sure, spending a little bit of money every time. And that was what my kids were used to for a long time because it was just like that was convenient. So I was saying yes to all these different things that were not the best. I was saying yes, like, let's just pick up food. Yes, it's not the best for my body. It's not the best for my budget. It's not the best for my kids, but it's easy.
Yeah.
And so then we started saying no to all of those things. So the other day, we had been doing this for a few weeks, and we stopped at the grocery store to pick up something. And my youngest son, Oliver, who enjoys fast food with the best of them, he said, "Mom, you have been cooking so much. Can't we just pick up something to eat?" Like, he was so distraught. And in my mom brain, I'm like, winning. Yes. Like, on those mother sheets, it won't say my mom's favorite food is chicken nuggets or the favorite thing that, I've been cooking so much. And in his brain, it was like horrible. And in my brain, I'm like, yes, we did it. So then what I told him was, I said, "Well, bud, how about we plan a family dinner out?"
Yeah. Yep.
So we planned something. He was so excited. He got to pick kind of the type of food he wanted that is, something that he had pizza. Been missing out on. It's pizza, obviously, all the time. So we picked a family day out, and they looked forward to that day out so much. And previously, we would have just gone and spent that money and done that activity, and they would have not even had a thought of being grateful for it because it was just normal.
Yeah.
And instead, we planned it. They were ready for it. They were excited about it. They were so thankful that we had done that. We were able to say no to a bunch of little things, to not great things, not healthy food, not the most convenient. But we were able to say no to those things so that we could say yes to something more important, which was saving the money so we can take vacation and doing a family dinner out and experiencing that and being grateful for it. So sometimes the boundary means saying no, but so that you can say yes to the right things.
Yeah. And understand this, from the creation, from the beginning of time, when creation of the earth happened, God set up boundaries and gave us an example to follow. Check out what says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. It says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating what he had done." Can I ask you a question? Do you think God needed rest? No. He's God. He could create anything with his voice. with his very breath. He didn't need to rest. He was modeling rest for us. Put boundaries around your job. That's what God was saying. So how do we develop this? Before we get into it, I want to be clear on something. There are times when we lend ourselves to helping someone in an addiction situation, or when a family member feels helpless, aka your adult children. You have to ask yourself one question. After helping them, are they getting better or are they staying the same? Or even, most of the time, they're getting worse. A lot of times when we are helping our adult children, we are stunting their emotional, spiritual, maybe even financial growth. So ask the question, by me helping them, are they getting better or are they getting worse? And if they're getting worse, you have to put that boundary around them. You have to protect your family. You have to protect yourself. And sometimes you even have to protect them from themselves.
Yeah. So there's two kind of laws when it comes to developing boundaries that we wanted to share with you. In this book, Boundaries, there's a lot more than two, yeah. But I wasn't going to keep you here all day. So we narrowed down kind of the two that I felt like would be easy to communicate and something that you could take home today to use. So the first one is the law of responsibility. And we kind of talked a little bit about this at the beginning, but the law of responsibility says you are responsible to love one another, not be one another. Mm. So I can't feel your feelings. I can't control your mind or dictate your behavior. I am responsible to you, to love you, yeah, to be Christ-like, but I am not responsible for what you do. So the boundary is learning to be responsible to someone. I will always love you no matter what you're going through, but I'm not responsible for what you're going through.
Yeah.
And here's kind of like an example. One of your children, maybe a close friend, has made a poor decision. Maybe there's consequences that are going to come along because of that decision. It is not our responsibility to take on the consequence or try to eliminate the consequence.
Yes.
It is our responsibility to support while they walk through the consequence.
Yeah.
If you are raising children, and you can see this even from, I mean, our kids are not grown, but you can see it even when they're young. If you are trying to, when you're guiding them along the road of life, we can either teach them how to step around the potholes and we live in Louisiana, so how to step around the potholes, how to walk over the bump, or you have some parents that are like shoveling asphalt trying to repair the entire road for them. That's not our jobs. Our job is to teach them how to navigate the road that God's bringing them on, not to fix every bump in the road so that they never have to encounter a bump. So don't be responsible for someone. Be responsible to them. So love them through their walk. Love them through the consequences that they may be having to encounter. But it's not about taking away those things.
Yeah. The second one, the first one's the law of responsibility. The second one that we want to talk to you about is the law of respect. And a lot of people have problems developing boundaries in their lives because of one word, they. I'll give you an example. But they won't accept me. But they will get angry if I put boundaries around. But they won't speak to me if I tell them how I really feel. When we focus on others' opinions, we lose clarity on our own lives.
Yeah. Matthew 7 talks about this. Matthew 7:12, it says, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you." This sums up the law and the prophets. This is the law of respect in its most basic form. We need to do to others what we would have them do to us. When you respect others' limits, then you can expect them to respect yours.
Yeah.
But here's something that I read this in the book, and it really kind of stood out to me as kind of a different way of thinking about it. If you're really nervous about telling someone no, is it maybe because when someone told you no, you didn't handle it right?
Mm.
So sometimes we're nervous about saying no to someone else because we fear that they may respond the same way we've responded. And so it's very important, respect someone's no. respect their boundaries. I mean, it's a pretty basic principle, but sometimes we are so busy through life, we ignore it.
Yeah.
And so here's the test. Are you thinking, are they doing what I would do or what I want them to do? Or are you thinking, are they making a free choice? The people around us, we should be thinking, I want them to make a free choice to say yes to this. I don't want them to do it because I want them to do it or because I think they should do it. That's not a genuine relationship. That's not the healthiest type of relationship. So as we are creating boundaries for our own health, we need to be a healthier friend or family member to the people around us as well. Because at the end of the day, we want them to feel permission to make a free choice when we have asked something.
Yeah, because let's be honest, Jesus died so that we could be free. Jesus died for this freedom. He died for the fact that we can be forgiven of the things that we've made mistakes on. Because let me be honest, what we're talking about, we're still practicing. We're not perfect.
This week,
we're practicing putting boundaries, saying no to a lot of things so we can say yes to the right things. And I don't know about you, but the best decision I ever made was saying yes to the right thing, and that was Jesus. We have access to this freedom because of what Christ died for us. So I want to ask you the most important question of your life. Have you been born again? And this, just for a moment, I want to ask, please, nobody move around. Nobody get up, move out of your seats. Give me 4 or 5 minutes, because this is the most important thing that we do. The Bible says in John 3 that unless a person is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And as a pastor, it is my responsibility to help as many people see the kingdom of heaven as possible. I want to see heaven with you, and I want you to see heaven. Well, Pastor Jacob, how do I do that? I want to see the kingdom of heaven, but I don't know how. Well, honestly, it's as easy as ABC. A, we admit. We admit that we've made some mistakes, because the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We admit that we've made some mistakes, and we ask for forgiveness. We ask God to forgive us of our sins. B, we believe. We believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that God sent his one and only son to die for us so that we can be in relationship with God the Father. And then C, we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord. And I'll be honest with you, that's probably the hardest one. Because when we confess that Jesus is Lord, what we're saying is, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life, meaning you have access to everything in my life, and you have the authority to change it. We've given up control of our own lives and saying, my life in God's hands is better than my life in my own. So if that's you today, this is what I want to ask. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to ask anybody to stand up in front of a bunch of people you don't know. In fact, this is what I'd like to ask you to do. Can you do me a huge favor and bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment? Just for a moment. If you'd like to be born again, I'm going to count to three, and I want you to lift up your hand. Not right now, not just yet. But I know that for some people here, your heart's beating out of your chest, because you know this is what you've been waiting for. You know your life has led to this. So if you'd like to be born again today and you say, that's me, I want to make this decision. On the count of three, I want you to lift up your hand. 1, 2, 3, lift it up right now. Thank you, hands going up everywhere. Thank you, lift it up, keep it up for just a moment. Just a moment. High enough to where I can see. Thank you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Thank you, 9, thank you. You can put your hands down. Church, just as a sign of family, can we pray this prayer together? Everybody out loud so that nobody feels uncomfortable. Let's say this prayer together. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. And I believe that on that cross, you took my sin, you took my shame, you took my guilt, and you died for it. I believe that you faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go. You rose again on the third day to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth and a relationship with your Father. This moment I confess, this moment I believe that I am born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said, amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about our church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.